Forgiveness is not a guarantee that's going to change a person's behavior. Can forgive and forgive and forgive, but it may not change a person's behavior. When do you find it hardest to forgive? When do you find it hardest to forgive? Forgiveness. It's one of the toughest things that I've ever participated in or commanded to participate in, and I run from it a lot. So I hope this series has helped you not run from it and to come together and enjoy the fact that we need to just let it go. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the challenges that you present to us. Father, we need that metal-to-metal sharpness, and we trust that you know when to best put it on us and make it in our heart to do something like forgiving one another, forgiving those that don't even know that we've hurt, they've hurt, and we all hurt. Father, help us this week that we can just let it go and take those things that are on our hearts that challenge us and make it that it pricks us sufficiently to honor you and to do what you're asking us to do in your word. Help me this morning as we work through this class. Help us as we participate together. And that we would wind up doing only one thing, and that is giving you the honor and the glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and the whole class joined in and said,
Amen.
Okay, so you've seen me take the jacket off 2 weeks in a row. This week I left it at home. It was pretty hot out there. But I'm not going to take my shirt off and show you my wonderful physique. But no Lance, no Speedos here. So the big deal is just let it go and start forgiving one another. That's the tough part. And as I've done each week, I'd like for you to help me better understand. So, Shaq, what is this forgiveness stuff? What is forgiveness? And Mike Man Ron's got a mic there if you... need to say this, but I'll give you an example. We all have been challenged, and you know, one of my challenges is within the family, where when I was in the military and Cindy and I were in Germany and Fort Benning, Georgia, and lots of places, it came to my attention that my family members were charging my mom and dad $20 to change light bulbs, and they were changing light bulbs every week. That was way before the LEDs came out, but a weekly life change on a light bulb was a little bit extravagant, right? So I harbored that for years and years and years, and literally still harbor it. So as we go through the challenges that you're carrying, I want you to share with me that we need to forgive each other, and we need to forgive those who've hurt us. And when we don't, who wins? The devil wins, but the person that we don't forgive wins, because we're still carrying the stuff that weights us down. I call that pockets of clutter. And in my jacket, you know, we just threw it off because there was a pocket for wrath. There was a pocket for anger. That just get rid of it. And it all starts with each one of us. So, forgiveness, pardoning, canceling a debt, sending things away, dismissing it, leaving things alone, or as I've emphasized every week, try and just let it go. That letting it go releases what? Anger. And we're going to talk a little bit more this morning about anger. The bottom line I want you to take away from this whole series of studies is right here. if you let it go of all those deeply held negative feelings that you've harbored for years, believe me, having done it a couple of times, it empowers you to do what? To recognize that you no longer have to let that pain of carrying those burdens define who you are. And that's one of the bottom line takeaways, is don't let the unforgiveness define who you are and who you have become because you're harboring that challenging stuff. Okay, anybody want to add to that, what forgiveness is? Ron, help me.
Well, I probably grew up in a environment similar to yours, and what I noticed about my parents and my siblings was that the older you got, the less they thought about the ill feelings or ill conduct or whatever it was that occurred during our younger years and began showing respect for one another. So it probably takes time to do the things that you're talking about there.
Okay, time. Harboring that for 43 years is probably too long. And my thrust I'm trying to get y'all to break away is, don't harbor these things. Just let them go by starting, even going to the persons that have done this to you. And I agree with what you said totally, that time can either positively or adversely impact how you are carrying these burdens of unforgiveness. Okay? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Help me, Luffy.
So the first thing, the way I look at it, and this is the way I did it, because I had the same thing, but okay. to confess it to God that you're going to forgive that person or whatever happened, and that lightens the load off in your back.
Okay.
I felt that right away when I did that.
So through that confession, you took it to God, you let it go to God, where, by the way, it belongs, right? And there was a freedom that you came through. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, help me.
I think sometimes it reappears again, the same burden that you let go. Something will remind you of it, and then you feel like it's kind of an ongoing process. You have to do it again, or you have to keep it in check, because it just pops up again in your mind.
Keep it in check. Be aware that it's happening. And as you all know, when I try to lead a Bible class, I always try to give you some tools to put in your toolkit. Today, our wrap-up is going to be some of those tools that we're going to talk about, identifying some warning signs, identifying some things that you can do to help you do what Lupi just said, acknowledge it, confess it, and then move forward with what it takes to grant forgiveness with an understanding, oh my word, you may not forget it. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why that's okay to not forget it. Okay? So, one of the things that we need to remember is that we need to know how to forgive. And right here in Matthew 18, it talks about how we should forgive is to forgive from the heart. Whew. Goes back to, I can't do this. This is too hard. Yep, you're right. It's very hard. But who we are as followers of Christ, Christ's child, we need to example what Christ did. He forgave. He asked his Father to forgive the folks that had put him on that cross. For who? For us. So if Christ can do it in that agony that he suffered for us, then we should be able to do the same thing. And I emphasize, should be. And it starts from the heart. We need to try and forgive and forget it. In Hebrews 8, it talks about, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's because he's God. He wipes the chart clean. And guess what? We need to try to do that, but as I've acknowledged over and over and over again, this one is really a challenge to forget it. Yes, sir.
When Stephen preached his sermon and riled up the crowd so bad that they stoned him to death, he asked God to forgive them, and we were studying the outcome. I don't know how accurate a lot of this stuff is, but the outcome of a lot of the apostles, where they were when they were killed and how they were killed and so forth, but they were all killed because they wouldn't deny Christ.
Did not deny.
And probably included in that non-denial forgiveness for...
Everybody with me? Thank you. That drove it home there. Here's one. Well, I just got to keep doing this over and over again, Jack. Well, there's no degree to forgiveness. And you'll remember this one as one of our key takeaways was over there. Then came Peter to him and said, "Hey, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." And Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Paul, you mean I just got to keep forgiving this guy that for years and years and years has been haunting me with these problems? The answer is, uh-huh. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because I remember last week you shared about that scenario. This is tough, but it should not be something that puts you down and under and you cannot offer forgiveness. It's okay that it's multiple times. Well, that person's just not listening to me, Teresa. I'm not going over there again and doing that. Watch out. What's the example here that we see? Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if that passage suggests that the person who needs forgiving is doing something each time that requires a new forgiveness, or is it something that the guy is holding on to that every time he sees him, he has to forgive him? It's kind of strange to me. That's a difficult passage in that I can see somebody standing outside of somebody's house throwing a rock through the window. All right, I forgive you. Then he goes to another place and throws another rock through the window. Okay, I forgive you. That's going to be pretty hard to do after you have a few broken windows.
I can't do any better than that example. You're exactly right. But the onus is on us, regrettably sometimes, to cry and continue grace and mercy and love while this is happening. Right? How should we forgive? Those words just reverberate, bringing us back to the cross, bringing us time and time again when we have that scenario you just described. And it's easy to stand up here and say, you know, y'all, we ought to really be doing this. And then practicing it is what really. How can we forgive the darkest sins completely and freely? And the only answer I know is through God's help and our leaning on Him like never before. Confessing it, boom, what a remarkable start off that was. Trying to do that. So that's what we've covered. And the question that I have this morning, Joel and Robert, if y'all would, I'm going to put this question out there for the online audience. And I want the onliners that are, I think there's a few on the online this morning, to answer this question, and that is, from a personal perspective, when do you find it hardest to forgive? When do you find it hardest to forgive? That's the online test question this morning. When is it hardest to forgive? Online, yes, ma'am.
Hurt me, I can forgive you. Hurt my child, and it's a lot harder.
Woo! Hurt me, and I will forgive you. But you hurt my child, you better watch out.
That was the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do. Forgive an ex-son-in-law who beat my daughter, broke her nose, gave her concussions. Hard, but I did it, finally.
Thank you for sharing that so much. Ron, I got another one up here with Sister Chris. Carol, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That is awesome.
I'm with Carol. For me, forgiveness is okay for me, but we deal with little Carter all the time. And obviously his mom went through a lot of trials and was hurt, but now that poor baby has to go through those trials. And just this week, poor baby's birthday was last week, and his dad called and didn't even remember it was his birthday to say, "Happy birthday, Carter." And, you know, it just, it's heartbreaking, and it is very tough to forgive when you see a child or a family member hurting because continuously.
Wow. I wish y'all could see the compassion that's floating that I can see from these two ladies as they've shared that. That is a really tough one, isn't it, Chris? I mean, it's like amazing. Yes, Lupi.
So while we're on that topic, I also, for, I'm going to say maybe 3 years, 4 years, everybody knows my son's in prison.
Yep.
And the woman that caused it for him to be in prison, I could have just went and wrung her neck.
Yeah. The mile part of what you want to do.
Yeah. But I just put a knot in my tongue and just let it go. It took a while, and it's a working process, you know, to go through continuously almost every day what my son has to go through for this lying woman that created this. So wow. It is heavy, and it stays heavy on your heart. But when you let that go, let forgiveness, you know, we want mercy, but we can't give mercy.
Can't give it easy.
Yeah.
I got a lot. Brother Richard, no, that's Paul, I'm sorry. Richard's on travel. He's sitting in Richard's seat.
I heard the lady in the back say when they hurt her child, that was not as easy to cope with as when they hurt her. And I thought about immediately when Christ was on the cross and the skies turned dark, and you know that God was not happy with those who were injuring Jesus, his child.
Right.
And Jesus' response in all this was, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
Yep.
That, there it is. That says everything that we're talking about right now.
Carol, Chris, Paul, by sharing that, what you've done this morning, is there some letting it go, freedom that you're feeling? Because that's what I'm seeing in the faces of folks here. Loopy's same way. It's so hard, but yet when you do it, there are results that come from that, correct? All the time it continues to happen. Yeah. That's the lesson. We got to do what these ladies and men have exampled, simply because we know there is a God who loves us and will take that. But it's just not soon enough in some cases, or it's not long-lasting enough in some cases. That's where the challenge is. Okay, thank you. That is a home run for the class. I want to show and talk about some of the obstacles that lead us to what we've talked about this morning. One of the worst obstacles to forgiveness that I've experienced is out of fear. Out of fear of losing the energy that anger can produce. And I think, and I'm talking to self here, that I am reluctant to let go because it allows me the energy of being angry. Whoa, what? Yep, that's what it does. It fits me like a glove because I can blame someone else when I'm angry. And unfortunately, anger sometimes becomes a purpose for me. I hope that's not your case. That you hold on to this because it lets you get energy from being angry. Many of you know I spent many years in the military, and I had they call me the Banny Rooster. Because I would get so mad, I would just start scratching and doing crazy things that led to kicking trash cans. And I had a sergeant major that came into my office one day, and he said, "Sir, I'm going to tell you something. You have got to stop kicking these trash cans because I'm running out of money replacing all the trash cans you're kicking. So I'm going to enroll you in anger management training." And I found out I got a charge out of being mad. I got a charge out of destroying trash cans. Well, that sounds trivial, but it's so true that sometimes people hold on to these things, Paul, because they get a charge out of making you feel bad, right? We need not let the devil win in that scenario. And now I have an online wave from my brothers up top, so have at it.
John Warp is with us online, and he wrote, "Christ forgives continuously. I want to be forgiven every time I sin, but I'm challenged to forgive others continuously. It's difficult to forgive when brothers attack brothers. We need to be strong as a church in order to grow."
Thank you, John Wharton. Maybe that's it. The challenge that we're facing can help us grow, be energized to grow. Spot on, brother. Thank you. Okay, another obstacle for forgiveness could be the fear of losing the leverage in a relationship. Woo! Woo! Forgiveness is not a guarantee that's going to change a person's behavior. Can forgive and forgive and forgive, but it may not change a person's behavior. I love this one. Forgiveness becomes what? If I fear to forgive, it could become a tool to manipulate how you feel about another person or how you feel about me. It is an act of obedience according to the Christ model, but oftentimes we let it become a tool of manipulation. It's a way of cleaning up the grudges and resentments that damage us. We can guard ourselves against the repeated energy by removing ourselves from the relationship by what? Or by changing the rules. This is the one I referenced to what you shared last week, Paul, about we need to guard ourselves by changing the rules of the relationship with that fellow or that persons that are doing that. So again, this is an example of fear that becomes an obstacle for us forgiving. Here's another one. We lose the hope for bettering that relationship if we're fearful of making the forgiveness. Wow, here it is. Have you ever caught yourself setting an expectation for friends and family that may be too high? Foolish choices and ongoing evidence of serious character flaws devastate those who expect too much. It's necessary to forgive the people simply for being who they are, and here we go, and they're not going to change. So that's one of those that's spot on for just letting it go. An obstacle that stops forgiveness could be right in your face here. Our expectations are, hey, I'm a forgiver. I'm going to forgive you, but the other person is just unrelenting about staying out of my life. And I've got a too high expectation sometimes because I don't realize that the person's may not change. It may be their motivation not to change. From the crow's nest, another comment.
I think it's helpful to remember that forgiveness is liberating.
Whew. Forgiveness is liberating, right, Loopy? Right, Chris? Right, Carol? Yes, Loopy.
I've always used the scenario as when you don't forgive, it's like taking a tablespoon of poison, hoping that other person will die.
Yes.
Okay. Wait, Jack. Wait.
Coming at you, Jack.
It's easy to say that you forgive, but you don't forget.
Amen.
And not forgetting.
Breathe.
Do you really forgive?
Yeah.
It eats you up.
Yeah.
Just remember that, guys.
I was going to say, if you don't mind.
No, you can have it, brother.
I don't think that what you're talking about ought to exist. Let's just say we're the church right here. If there's anybody in this room that I can't walk up to and say I love you or I shake your hand or whatever and be honest about it, then there's something wrong with one or the two of us, probably me.
No, you're right. We're acknowledging you're right, but we're confessing through words of encouragement, hey, this is not easy. Hey, I'm struggling with this. And the whole point of the class is trying to give us some encouragement on how to overcome those obstacles. There's not a person in this room right here, or online for that matter, that we don't love and can't forgive for something that's been done. A lot of times the struggle is, I don't know I hurt you. But it's never going to be as easy as putting it on a PowerPoint slide and talking about it in a class note, is it, church? Nope. Yes, Ron.
When I was in high school, I had a little confrontation with another guy. And I had no personal vendetta or anything against him. He had a chip on his shoulder, and that's another story. But he tore me up a good one. I mean, so bad that I didn't go to school for 3 days because of the way I looked. And when I got back to school, though, I just felt like that I had to straighten it out with him. And two of my buddies was going to correct it for me. I said, well, if one of you want to correct it at the time, you go right ahead. But I was taking up for the guy then, see? So okay. That made us friends, believe it or not.
Really?
It did. And my so-called buddies decided that they didn't want to take on that task, one at a time. And that's the first time I ever told that story in church, but that happened, and I made a friend out of somebody because I stuck up for him and forgave him, if you will.
So you did forgive him?
Yes, I did.
Okay. How long did it take?
Well, the day or two that I was back in school is when my friends were going to help me rectify the situation. They were going to beat him up.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, no. I said, one of you at the time. So just a day or two, and that's not because I've got such a great character. I just felt that was the thing to do.
Okay.
And he and I became friends.
Because you saved him from from getting beaten.
I saved my other two buddies from getting beat because there ain't no way that they could have done any better than I did. I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha. So one of the other obstacles that we're talking about also is that there's a fear of losing the control of the person. You know, from where we are, this power struggle. And I keep going back over to Paul because all week I could just hear those words from you about how this had hurt you, that it's just repetitive. And I came to grips with the fact, I believe in that display of behavior, there's a joy of controlling you and your thoughts, that it just keeps being repeated, and it should not be. So we are like, we're not the power-hungry people, I hope, but recognize one of the challenges to forgiveness could be that there's a fear you have, or a fear that you will lose power or control. No, that's not right. That's not right at all. You as a child of God should not ever fear granting forgiveness, exercising grace and mercy and love. Ray O'Haver, help me.
It might be easier for us to give. There's laws in the land that punish the wrongdoers. Those that hurt us, those that hurt our children, things like that. There's laws of the land, and I think Jesus pointed this out at one time. I can't remember the passage. But let them take care of the anger, let them take care of the punishment, and it's easier for us to forgive and not carry it within our hearts.
Okay. Here's one that, yes, Jerry.
Well, you know, I was thinking about what Chrissy said a while ago about Carter. Nobody knows how that child is going to think when he grows up a little more, if he's steadily being abused verbally or by not anybody showing up that should. And so we don't know that. And so that could be a long-term problem for that boy. Yeah. And so it's awful hard to forgive somebody that you think is going to cause that kind of a hardship on your grandchild or your child.
Amen. And just a personal note, many of you all know that family very well, and I'll tell you, that young man has a fantastic way of seeing Christ through the example of the mom and the grandparents. And that will overcome everything. So God bless you in exampling that.
I've made the comment before that one of my favorite passages of Scripture is John 3:30, which is, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Ooh.
And I think I'll be Captain Obvious here for a second, and by no means do I say I have everything figured out and everything like that, but when you put this comment up, the only thing I could think about is that we're physical beings kind of living in a physical world, but we should have a spiritual mindset in a spiritual world.
I hope so.
And if we look at some of these conflicts that we see in our lives here in the physical realm and really think about in the grand scheme what they really matter, they don't matter at all. And in fact, your comment up there about fear of losing power, are we afraid of losing power in this world? Because many times if we give up that power here, it draws us closer to Christ and we gain the power of, you know, salvation and redemption in the afterlife. And if we really keep that perspective in many things in our life, you know, a lot of this stuff just doesn't matter. And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but if we encounter things and keep that mindset, I think it softens the burden that we carry.
Fantastic. Sister Betty's got a comment right there.
I have found comfort in knowing that God issues vengeance on those who offend his children. I've seen it sometimes faster than I expected.
Wow.
But I have found comfort in just leaving it like that.
Amen, sister. I want to plant one here and then we'll move on. But that second bullet up there, recognize that sometimes one of the obstacles is that we may see parents who hold some wrong against an adult child. Things like, I expect you to visit once a week, I expect you to honor me with gifts, etc., etc. In my research on trying to find an answer for Paul, this one popped up, and I thought, man, oh man, although not saying it's here, I'm just saying let's be aware that sometimes that power of control can come right into our families, that there are some who may be holding that as power over an adult child. Just a sidebar for you to think about. Yes, Ron.
I think one of those scriptures say that by doing that, you're heaping coals of fire on his head. That's where you're getting ahead, and he's losing because you're demonstrating your forgiveness.
Okay, thank you. The last one here on the obstacle could be that you lose your image of being superior. I'm the good guy or the bad guy. We always wear the white hat. Well, the bottom line here is you go over to James 4 and 6, where it says, but he gives us more grace. That is why the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So let's be careful if we put ourselves in a position of superiority. Okay? All right. We're going to close out this morning by talking about some misconceptions of what forgiveness is. We are not saying when we forgive somebody that we condone the behavior. We are in a position to forgive, but forgiveness is not saying what you did is okay. Forgiveness does say that the consequences, Sister Betty, of what you've done really, really, really belongs to God, and God is in control. So let's not think that forgiveness condones the behavior. Forgiveness, Jack, is not forgetting what happened. It's foolish to erase from the mind some of the wrongs that have been done to us. We would never learn from our experiences, and we could come right back into the same pattern of behavior if we did not keep remembering. What can be forgotten, however, are those raw emotions of anger, those raw emotions of not letting it go. But forgiveness does not grant the fact that we may keep remembering. And that's really tough to execute. Next one, forgiveness is not restoring trust in the person. That trust must be earned. It's something we give to those who deserve it. To blindly trust someone who has hurt us is naive and, quite frankly, very irresponsible. If a person is a thief, it's foolish to give that person the key to my house. If he's a pedophile, you would be derelict to hire him as a babysitter. You see how that works? Forgiveness is not necessarily restoring trust in the person who's wronged us. And it's not agreeing to reconcile. Forgiveness is a necessary step, however, toward reconciliation, but reconciliation is not the goal to forgive. The goal to forgive is turn it over to God, let it go, and get freedom from the power and the control. And that's the bottom line of what we're talking about. If you press for reconciliation from a person who's not repentant, unchanging, or unwilling, you're wasting your time. Forgiveness is not doing the person a favor. Jesus raised the standard of forgiveness to a much higher level than being favoritism. We are to forgive even those who remain unrepentant. Forgiveness will always benefit those who give it, at least as much as the receiver, so we extend it whether or not the person asks for it or not. And finally, the big amen to the group is, wow, this is definitely not easy. We've had example after example this morning, and thank you very much for doing that. It's not going to be easy. And we threw it out there this morning about the 70 times 7 example. And that example is what I leave. Hopefully you'll grasp it, that forgiving is all these things that we've talked about, but it is not going to be easy because it could continue and continue and continue. But because the blood of Christ was offered for us, we know that we have the mercy, grace, and love of Christ, and we're in Christ's body, and therefore we should have our load lightened when we can let it go, knowing that God's got it. And that's the bottom line of what I'm trying to bring home, that forgiveness is the foundation and the very essence of who we are as a faithful body of Christ. You know, we took the coat off several times this series and threw it out because it was laden with thoughts of wrath and anger and just unforgiveness. So keep pushing forward, knowing that God's got you and He's got this body as believers in Christ and followers of Christ. I would ask you to cut this out of your notes and put it somewhere in your Bible. This 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 24, I close with this. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing, North Tampa. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that body pays back wrong for wrong, but always tries to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who in Jesus Christ. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not trust prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Be joyful always and forgiving and loving as you are commanded to do. I love you. Have a great morning. Let's do some worship now.